Okay, thank you, Chairman. I would like to also thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity to present our recent APIS results on the kip rates. My name is Makoto Hashimoto from the SLAC National Lab. So in the kip rate phase diagram, it's been generally recognized that the importance of electronic correlations, and probably as also suggested by the D-wave superconductivity itself. And there's a peculiar SUDGAC exists, as Chandra mentioned, and below the T-star line, we see multiple interesting orders and fluctuations. This SUDGAC line likely intersects the superconducting dome, having a critical point inside the superconducting dome, around 19%. Meanwhile, the electron boson coupling has been studied in the context of pairing loop. However, there is no consensus about it. Also, there has been not much systematic doping study around this region, so we don't know how this electron phonon coupling or electron boson coupling affects the phase diagram. So, in particular, I would like to talk about the electron phonon coupling around this region and how it is correlated with superconductivity and the SUDGAC. So, as motivation, I show several experimental results showing phonon affects the electrons, therefore the phase diagram. So the top left shows the recent ion selenide pump probe experiment where the lattice displacement and the corresponding band shift are monitored in a local manner. And a relatively large directly obtained constant coupling constant suggests the importance of electronic correlations for the electron phonon coupling. On the top right shows the inelastic neutron scattering results where the phonon softening has been observed at the Q vector for the stripe, or also in CDW wave vector by inelastic X-ray scattering and more recently in Wick's measurement, which suggests the interplay between the phonon and the CDW or stripes. We also know that the phonon affects superconductivity itself. So here I show the isotope effect in the kip rates where the isotope constant alpha shows unusual doping dependence with its absolute value being much smaller than that for phonon-mediated superconductivity. And more interestingly, recent APIS results suggest that in monolayer ion selenide, the substrate phonon couples to the ion selenide electronic structure with small Q scattering. And this electron phonon coupling is suggested to be to contribute to superconductivity enhanced TC significantly, which may explain high TC in this ion selenide. So with that motivation, before I'm going to the main results, I would like to explain some spectroscopic signature of superconductivity, SUDGAC, and electron phonon coupling measure by ARPES. For most of my talk, I'll show results from Bismuth 2212, which is a bilayer kip rates having around the maximum TC of 100K. And because of the beautiful cleavage plane, this material is suitable for surface-sensitive probes, such as ARPES. So from ARPES data set, we can pick up spectrum at each frame momentum and extract the gap size, which can be plotted as a function, for example, frame surface angle theta. We can see gap zero at 45 degrees, suggesting the D-wave node. We can plot this gap function also as a function of D-wave parameter. In this case, a linear slope or linear dependence suggests that the gap follows that of D-wave. And we can define near nodal gap slope as V delta or Vn, delta n here. And on the entire frame surface, D wave superconducting gap has been observed above 12% doping in the case of well below TC. Another hallmark of superconductivity is the volume of particle peaks. So at sufficiently high temperature, but slightly below TC, we can observe the upper branch of the volume of quasi particle peak. And after removing the frame cutoff effect, we can see that the spectral function shows the particle hole symmetry gap with the spectral weight conserved within the relevant energy window. Another signature of superconductivity is the gap closing behavior. So here I show a very overdoped bismuth 2212, about 24% doped sample at the antinode, the temperature dependence of the gap, which are found to follow the simple BCS weak coupling limit behavior, where n equal 0.5 in this formula. So this and gap closes somewhere around TC. So this suggests that the entire frame surface in deeply overdoped regime follows the gap function of D wave. However, this is of course not the case when the pseudo gap exists. Here I show a typical spectrum in the pseudo gap state for optimally doped bismuth 2212 at the antinode, where we can see a dip at the frame level, which indicates that there exists a pseudo gap. And the pseudo gap has a momentum dependence, has maximum gap size around the antinode, whereas the near nodal region, the gap closes at lower temperature, forming a so-called frame arc. When this pseudo gap is so strong, we can see that the gap function deviates from simple D wave in the underdoped region. And this deviation gets stronger towards underdoping. So this is early evidence that the pseudo gap is distinct from superconductivity. And but I also want to emphasize that here, in the most underdoped case, around 8% doping, we can still see clear quasi-particle peaks all around the frame surface, suggesting that the superconductivity have full momentum coherence. Now we can analyze the spectral weight of the antinodal spectrum temperature dependence. And spectral weight analyzed in several ways are plotted on the light, right, as a function of temperature. Where you can see a cusp feature at TC in all of them, and which suggests the competition between the superconductivity and pseudo gap. So what happens is that the pseudo gap pushes the Fermi spectral intensity away from the Fermi level, but when the coherent superconductivity sets in, it takes back the spectral weight near the Fermi level, forming a sharp quasi-particle superconducting peak. So such a competing feature can be observed up to 12.2% doping, which is slightly above the ground state pseudo critical point, around 19% suggested by other literatures. And in fact, we can see such a 19% anomaly possibly related with the pseudo gap critical point in RPS spectrum as well. So here we plot the gap slope near the node, V delta, as a function of doping, where you can see a sudden change of the gap slope around 19%. And similar observation, similar behavior can be seen also in the antinodal gap size as well. So combined with the competing feature up to 12.2%, this result may suggest that there's a re-entrant behavior of the pseudo gap inside the superconducting dome due to competition. So ARPES suggests pseudo gap is distinct from superconductivity, intersects the superconducting dome, and compete with superconductivity. Another feature we can discuss from our perspective is the electron boson coupling. Here, instead of the nodal dispersion kink anomaly, in the anti-node, because of the shallow band bottom and strong superconducting peak as well as the pseudo gap, we can see the electron boson coupling feature as peak dip hump feature in the spectrum. Here, the dip energy corresponds to the gap shifted boson energy. Therefore, the dip peak distance corresponds to the mode energy. And we believe this mode is a B1G oxygen bond buckling phonon mode, which has about the same energy, because we observe this strong dip feature only multi-layer cuprates, whereas in the single-layer cuprates where there's no such B1G oxygen bond buckling mode to the first order, we don't see such a strong dip feature. And this mode energy seems to be almost doping independent with strong doping dependence of the dip strength, which I will show later. So I showed that RPS can study superconductivity, pseudo gap, and electron phonon coupling at the same time, which also allowed us to study their correlations. So here I plot the integrated EDC around the antinode at three different temperatures, where we may be able to define three different quantities. One is the superconducting gap size. The next is the pseudo gap strength, which is defined at the depletion of the spectral intensity at EF. And the last is the electron phonon coupling strength, which is defined as the shaded area for the dip strength. So this is a typical spectrum in the optimally doped sample. But there's a very sudden change across the pseudo gap boundary, and the spectrum line shape shows a very contrasting behaviors. So in very overdoped side, 24% doping, you don't see the pseudo gap effect anymore, and the gap size of superconducting gap size becomes much smaller, and with this electron phonon coupling feature, almost very less obvious. So something is interesting is happening across this pseudo gap region, pseudo gap boundary, and I want to look into the detail a little bit more. So here I plot the spectrum at the antinode for different dopings to extract the gap size at the antinode, which is plotted as a function of TC here, together with the near nodal gap size, and also two delta over KBTC, the gap TC ratio, is also plotted as a function of doping. So here you can see that in the optimally doped region where TC is high, the two delta over KBTC is about 10, and it becomes rapidly small across the pseudo gap boundary, approaches 4.3, which is the value for D-wave recoupling BCS limit. So this makes this overdoped region very interesting region to study superconductivity mechanism without the complication of the pseudo gap. But they also suggest that the superconducting character changes rapidly towards very complex superconductivity towards in the optimally doped region. Here I plot the EDCs at pi zero for all different dopings to extract the dip strength. And here the shaded area corresponds to the dip strength, possibly representing the electron phonon coupling strength. And also dip position is picked up by these black circles. And this dip position is plotted as a function of doping together with the antinodal gap size. And it shows a parallel shift with constant energy separation, consistent with the B1G phonon. And the striking finding in this study is the sudden suppression or depletion of the spectral intensity for the dip across the pseudo gap boundary. So we see a big dip hump feature in the optimally doped region, but this goes down very suddenly across this phase boundary. So we plot this very interesting finding together with the superconducting gap size and the supergap intensity, and we find a correlation between the three. So this basically near the putative pseudogap critical point towards optimally doping, where TC roughly doubles, superconducting gap becomes four times larger. Pseudogap starts to suppress the spectral intensity near the Fermi level, and the electron-phonon coupling suddenly becomes strong. So in the next two slides, I want to discuss some implications. So sudden electron-phonon coupling enhancement may not be expected with a simple underdoping, although the gradual electron-phonon coupling strength increase may be expected when the electronic correlations become stronger towards underdoping. I also want to emphasize that we never observed Lifshitz transition in this doping range we studied, so it seems that the Fermi surface topology is not affecting this. Instead, I would suggest the positive feedback loop between the pseudogap and the electron-phonon coupling. The pseudogap, when pseudogap opens, it depletes the spectral weight near the Fermi level, makes the spectral line shape broader, which reduces the quasi-particle coherence and the screening effect. This helps to enhance the electron-phonon coupling strength. On the other hand, it's been suggested by theory that electron-phonon coupling can stabilize either both the electron anti-ferromagnetic fluctuations and CDWs. So assuming that the pseudogap may possess some similarity to those anti-ferromagnetic fluctuation or CDWs, it can be expected that the pseudogap is also enhanced by electron-phonon coupling, making this feedback loop. In this case, we may expect that the electron-phonon coupling shows a sudden rapid change across the pseudogap boundary. And also, this suggests that the pseudogap is enhanced by the electron-phonon coupling. And here, to test it, T star for distance 2212 and 2201 is plotted. And near optimally doped region, T star for distance 2212 shows consistently higher T star, which is consistent with this picture. So this enhanced electron-phonon coupling may also contribute to superconductivity. Here I plot the superconducting dome for bismuth 2212 as a function of doping and electron-phonon coupling. And you see that at optimal doping, electron-phonon coupling strength is also enhanced, having maximum TC. In the case of bismuth 2201, a single layer chiplet which doesn't have a V1G mode, the TC is lower, and this strength basically stays zero. So it looks like that electron-phonon coupling, when electron-phonon coupling is strong, the TC looks higher. And this is a general trend in the chiplets, where single layer has always lower TC, and in the multi-layer chiplets, we always see deep strength with higher TC. So the electron-phonon coupling assisted superconducting scenario may become very interesting in the chiplet as well, as such a scenario has been proposed in ion selenide. So to summarize, we observed concomitant and rapid change of the pseudogap superconductivity and the electron-phonon coupling near the putative pseudogap critical point. This interesting finding suggests that these three are intimately coupled and related effects in the context of strong electronic correlation. And we suggest that there's a positive feedback loop between the pseudogap and electron-phonon coupling, which may also help to enhance TC. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions?
Sorry, just a clarification. I think I missed the frequency of the phonon is unchanged across the entire phase diagram.
Right.
It's yes. only the coupling that you're saying that increases.
Yeah, coupling strength seems to be changing. The within the error bar, we can say that it's domain independent.
Any other questions?
So the figure you just had up, where you're saying that the electron-phonon couple, it's only the B1G electron-phonon
yes.
coupling that you're,
right.
But the phonon structures are a little different between the two. Okay, so.
Yes, yeah, and here I plotted only as a function of B1G phonon. But of course, there are some other factors that may affect the layer dependence, such as out-of-plane disorder.
If I may make a remark on this point, when electron-phonon coupling promotes superconductivity, that phenomena depends upon the integrated weight of all the phonons, integrated spectral weight.
Okay.
So the fact that you are seeing one particular phonon doing something very interesting in your data
yeah.
is not persuasive that, that would be the general status of what we understand about electron phonon promoted superconductivity. Mm-hmm. And you think we understand that a bit.
Yeah, I think this B1G phonon is also interesting in terms of its anisotropic coupling to the electrons. And this B1G phonon is suggested to couple to antinodal electrons more strongly. So this may be something thing.
Kamran, do you have a question?
So I was wondering, the part of the phase diagram you are showing is always the overdoped side. So you showed that the delta over TC is changing drastically, but here TC is going down. So can you show again where you showed that the you are going from weak coupling superconductor, strong coupling superconductor as function of doping?
So this is overdoped side from a near optimally doped region to.
Yeah, so 2 delta over KBTC. So in this region, TC is going down. So I was wondering how much of this is because gap is, how much of this reduction is because TC is going down, how much is it because of the gap? Can you?
No, and, gap's going down.
So gap size as a function of TC is plotted here.
Gap is just going down faster.
Yeah, gap is going down, but gap is going down really fast.
Yeah, please.
Just a question. I was, when you have a nice superconducting peak, it's, I can see how you can distinguish between what's phonon or whatever that dip hump is and what's not. But when you just have a pseudo-gap spectrum, how easy it is it to distinguish what's coming from the pseudo-gap or what's coming from a depression near the Fermi level and what's coming from slightly further on? How do you make that distinction clearly? Is it easy to make?
So you are asking how to distinguish the phonon effect and the pseudo-gap effect.
I think it's important all of his rising. Data is in the superconducting
yeah.
state.
Yeah, that's the question. The gap is suddenly rising.
Was he just looking at between T C and G star?
No.
So if you go to in some of the plots show the evolution of things between T C and G star.
Okay, but this is all in the superconducting state.
Yes, yes. But if you keep going further. So
yes.
Keep going.
One more? Yes.
Stuff between TC and T-star. So all your measurements.
Oh, yes. Between TC and T-star, we define the pseudo gap strength as a depletion of the spectral weight at EF between T-star and TC.
How do you define the electron phonon coupling in that region?
In that region, actually, there's phonon for sure. But it's not obvious in the spectrum. Only when we have this spectral density pile up, we can clearly see the electron phonon coupling effect.
Any further discussion? Yeah. John?
So you In your slide showing your feedback effect between the pseudo gap and the electron phonon coupling, one comment you have under pseudo gap is that it reduces the quasi-particle coherence. I mean, I think what you've shown us is that when you are at a doping where the pseudo gap appears or is present, there's a reduced quasi-particle coherent peak.
Yes.
But that's versus doping. And if we consider temperature, if you go above T star, do you see any coherent quasi-particle peak? I mean, it's a question of...
It's hard to define quasi-particle, but what I think is interesting is that when you change the temperature from higher temperature, cross the pseudo gap temperature, the spectral line shape becomes broader. So that's the...
Well, if you go up in temperature, it gets
broader. Up in temperature, then spectral gets sharper.
Right, so to some extent, when there's no pseudo gap, you have less coherent.
No, the other way.
When you
have pseudo gap, we have less coherence than the higher temperature where we have.
I haven't seen any data with a sharper peak at high temperature. No, but can you show us?
Yeah, I think so. So this is not business 2212, but I think this is probably the best example. So this here, this is a EDC at the antinode, and the red curve is above T-star temperature, the pseudo gap temperature, where you can see a peak at the frame level. And when the gap opens, this spectral line shape gets broader and broader. So this is offset, but yeah, I think you can see it.
Thank you very much.